Begin the current daf, Masechtas Chulin daf Kov Zayin. Begin 6 lines down with the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous Gemara's discussion regarding the halachas of Netilas Yadayim, which related to the previous Mishnah regarding that of washing one's hands between the eating of dairy and meat, and that's related to the halachas of washing one's hands before one eats a meal. So Amar Papa, he says, Hai Arisa Didloi. Regarding this canal, where one would pour in the water from the river by taking a pitcher, and then pour that into the canal, and then that canal would take the water to the fields. So, ein neitlin mimenu liyadayim. A person cannot stick his hands into that canal and wash his hands that way to fulfill the halacha of netilas yadayim, because deloy ostu mikoyach gabra, that's not considered as if it's coming from the strength of a person, which is a requirement in halacha of netilas yadayim, because it already has dissipated that strength of the pourer, who poured it from the river into that canal, because now it's just a canal flowing by itself, and therefore one has not fulfilled neither options of Netilas Yadayim nor Tevilas Yadayim. He hasn't done Netilas Yadayim because Netilas has to come from the strength of a person. Here it's from the canal flowing by itself. And additionally, it's not fulfilling Tevilas Yadayim, dipping one hand in the canal, because that doesn't have the requisite shear of a mikvah. Now, however, vi'i mikriv l'gabi davlom. But however, if he puts his hands near the pitcher, meaning when the one who's pouring from the river into that canal, the other person puts his hands right over there where it's being poured, and then the water is flowing from the strength of the one who's pouring it into his hands, that's okay because the kasam ukeich gar, but that's coming from the strength of a person, and noitl menli daim, and therefore a person could wash his hands that way. Now, additionally, continues Rav Papa, v'ibaziya davla b'kainas mashka. If this pitcher has holes that are the size where if you would put it into a liquid, water, that liquid would come into, which is holes that are larger than the size of what's called maitzi mashka. Maitzi mashka, it would drip out. That could be very small. To take in what's called machnes, to kainis mashka, the size of the holes have to be a little bit bigger. Now, therefore, if the pitcher that's pouring from that river into the canal, if there's holes in it, besides the top where you're pouring out from, it has like a sieve coming out. So therefore, that flow that's coming out because of the pretty large holes is visible. So when the one who's pouring out, he's pouring out into the canal through the top. Now, it's additionally being connected, besides the flow from the pitcher to the canal, it also has the holes which are dripping back from where it is into the river because it has those other holes. So says Rav Papa, may live life. So we find that now the canal is attached to the river through the connection of the pitcher, and therefore umatvel bay. So therefore one could actually, in this case, could immerse his hands in the canal. He could dip es hayidayim his hands because, although generally that would not consider a connection between a valid mikvah, which is what the yor is, and a connecting body of water, which that generally requires actually for regular mikvah, what's called kishvei feres hanoid, how the size of a tube. However, in this situation where it's not a bona fide tevila, it's just the immersion of the hands, which is a rabbinic law, for that purposes we consider it enough connected through the connection of the water, which is through the medium of the pitcher on either side being connected, from the top of the pitcher, which is pouring down to the canal, and the bottom of it, which is dripping out and being connected that way to the river, and therefore it's connected as if to the river, the water that he's immersing here in the canal, and therefore that would fulfill the halacha of Tevilas Yadayim. Now, a related halacha, Vama Rava, the Rava says, again, the klisha nikiv b'kainis mashka, but here it's actually being used in the problematic sense. A vessel that has holes, the size that if it would be put into a liquid, it would enter into that vessel. So that's not considered halachically like a bona fide vessel, because it's perforated, it has holes. And the rabbis instituted for Netilas Yadayim a vessel. So in that situation, ein noit l'min yadayim, you would not be able to use that vessel for Netilas Yadayim, because that's not considered as a bona fide kli. Additionally, Vama Ravi says, kli she'im b'revius, a vessel that doesn't have a revius of loig of water, ein noit l'min yadayim, you can't wash with it for the hands before the meal. And that says, is that really so? But Vama Rava, we have a different teaching of Rava that seems to contradict this. Rava said, Kli she'ein machzik revius, a vessel that cannot contain a revius, ein noit l'min l'dayim, you can't wash your hands with that. Now the inference is, ha-machzik, but if it does, if it could contain, avagav delespi, even though it doesn't have revius, that it would be valid. So you see, you don't have to have an actual revius, it just has to be able to contain it. So I think more like kash, it's not difficult. Ha'alacha, the first teaching of Rava, was talking about for one individual. For one individual, yes, it has to have a revius of actual liquid of water in the beginning. But ha'alatrei, the second teaching was talking about for two people. Initially, it had a revius of water, and the first one washed his hands, and now the second one's coming to wash his hands. That's what that teaching of Rav is teaching, that even though there's not a revius by the second one washing, it's going to be okay, again, as long as it could contain revius, which it obviously did, since as the Gemara is going to explain what's called, it's coming from Shiyari Tahara, from the remnants of purification waters. The Tanya, which is actually a Mishnah Masechet Yedaya. Mishnah says, may revius, neitnu yadam liyachad, a revius of water, one could take that and wash the hands for one individual. Vafil l'shnayim, and even for two individuals, you see that yes, the second one doesn't have to have an actual revius of water because it's coming from an initial revius, which was used by a first person. But if it's only one person, yes, it has to have revius and not just contain that a container that could contain revius. Now, Amalei Rav Sheshes, La Meimer, Rav Sheshes said, Tameimer, Kabdisu Amona. Are you particular that the vessel that you're using to wash your hands before the meal should be an intact vessel? Amalei Yin, he said, yes. So he asked him, Achazusa, are you particular that it should have the appearance of water? Amalei Yin, he says, yes. He says, Ashiura, are you particular that it should have the measurement of revius? Amalei Yin, he said, yes. Now, Igadame, those that said, the Hoche Amalei, no, this is what he said to him. Amana v'achazusa kaptina, particular it should be an intact vessel and it should have the appearance of water. But Ashiura l'kaptina, but I'm not particular about having the measurement of revius. The Tanya, which is that Mishnah we quoted before, where it says, may revius, nightly and daim le'echad v'avalishnaim. You see that a revius of water could be used not only for one person, but even for two. So you see that a person doesn't have to have a revius, like you see the second person is not washing with a revius of water. To which the Gemara says, v'lohi, but it's not correct. Kashani hasa mishim duka'astu mishiyari tar. That situation is different, because the second person, although he's not washing revius himself, but it's coming from the remnants of purification waters. But in the beginning, obviously, it has to have revius. And therefore, if you're the only one washing, it needs to have revius, because even two people has to have been initially revius. One person cannot use something that started off less than revius. Now, the Gemara tells that Askin Rav Yaakov Nahar Pekoid, Rav Yaakov from Nahar Pekoid, he instituted, and he made Natla Bas Raviyasa. He made this vessel, this Natla, and when it's made out of glass, it's called a Natla, that was a measurement of a Raviyas of Lake. And he would put it away to be able to measure every person's vessels that each one made for their own house, for their own hands, to wash with, that they can measure it up against this vessel to make sure it contains this shear of Raviyas. So to ask him Ravashi Behutzel, similarly Ravashi instituted in this place Hutzel, Kuza Bas Raviyasa, Kuza is also a vessel but made out of earthenware. Again, the same idea, that's Raviyas that people can measure up and see that they have Raviyas to utilize for Netilas Yedaim. Now another teaching on these halachas from Ba'am Rava says, Meguvas Chavis, the lid of a cask that is of a pitcher, that of a container, the cover, Shetikna, which it was fixed, meaning that initially it was just made to be a cover of a barrel. But then it was carved out so that it could receive a revius of water. So though initially when it was made, it was not made to be used in its inside because it was only used as a cover and its airspace was not made as a receptacle. But once it was then fixed and made into a vessel that could receive a revius, then you could use it to wash one's hands. Tanim Halacha is similar in the Braisa, Meguvas Chavis Shetikna, regarding the lid of a barrel that was fixed. Neitlam and Neidayim, you could then use it for Netilas Yedaim. So to Chemes V'Kfisha Shetikna, regarding these two types of flasks made out of leather, that if they were made that they could have a receptacle of a revius, Neitlam and Neidayim, you could use it for Netilas Yedaim. However, Sak V'Kupa, a sack and a box, which their utility is generally not for the liquid of water, because the majority of these types don't receive water, they just drip right out. So af pi shemekabel, even if this specific one could receive, those were not instituted, and therefore they cannot be used for Netilas Yedaim. Now, Ibailu, the following question regarding this halach of Netilas Yedaim. Someone who didn't wash his hands before the meal. Ma'o lechel b'mapa, what's the halacha? Could he eat by taking a cloth and spreading it over his hands so that he won't be touching the foods, and then he could eat? What's the question? Michei shinin dimonaga, are we concerned that maybe he might touch? Which we said that was the whole reason why we instituted Netilas Yedaim, which was because of srach truma, that one might come to do that with truma, which would then contaminate into shlishi. But if one's not touching directly with his hand, so that's not a problem. So if he's covering with a cloth, are we concerned he might touch? And then that would still be the same problem. Or we're not concerned because his hands are covered, and therefore maybe he could eat without Netilas Yadayim. So the Gemara says, Tashma, it's being arrived from Mishnah Masechta Sukkah. Mishnah says, Ukeshnasnu Leil Reb Tzadik, when they would give to Reb Tzadik, Eichel Pachas Mekebeya, a food item less than an egg size. So Neitli Bemapa, he would take that bread with a cloth, Va'eichloi, and he would eat it, and he wouldn't wash his hands. Chutz l'sukkah, he would eat out of the sukkah on sukkahs. Ve'im avarach achrav, and he wouldn't make birchas amaz, and he wouldn't make a bracha afterwards. Now, my law, but one thing we see from this Mishnah is ha'kabeya, but it sounds like if it was the size of an egg, by netilas yadayim, then it would require netilas yadayim, because that's the shear, that's the measurement of what type of food requires netilas yadayim. And you see that it didn't help, it wouldn't have helped, even though his hand was wrapped. So the Gemara, no. Maybe this that it's picked specifically in this case, that it was less than the size of an egg, was because the halacha of sukkah and of birchas hamaz. Dilma maybe ha'kabeya, this that, yes, the inference is if it was the size of an egg, would because then by a sukkah by a bracha, then it would require to eat in the sukkah and require birchas hamaz. But maybe this of the wrapping of the hands, maybe actually that would even be sufficient, even if it was more than the size of an egg, and there's no proof. So the Gemara says, Tashma'atz being a raya from the following incident. The Shmuel Ashkechei L'Rav the Ka'achal B'Mapa. Shmuel encountered Rav, who was eating with his hands wrapped with a cloth. Amalei, so Shmuel said to him, as we continue to Medbeis, Adin Kedain? Do we do this type of thing to eat without washing one's hands, even though it's wrapped with a cloth? Oh, Amalei, so Rav said to him, no, Daiti Katzra Lai. My consciousness is very constricted, and that is, I'm an istinus, I'm a very delicate person, because even though I washed my hands, I can't eat with my hands, and therefore I'm wrapping it with a cloth, but not as an excuse for Netilas Yadayim. So we see that both Shmuel and Rav agree that yes, wrapping one's hands would not be precluding one from the requirement of Netilas Yadayim. Now, so too, Kiselik Reb Zera, following on this incident, when Reb Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechinu l'Rabami v'Rabasi, he encountered Rabami v'Rabasi, the Ka'achli b'bloi chamasis. They were eating with their hands wrapped with the worn out flasks made out of leather, and they wrapped their hands in it, and they were eating without washing their hands. So Omar, he said, Trei Gavri Ravavri Kavaseichu, two great personalities like you, Litu B'Rav and Shmuel, should make an error in that incident of Rav and Shmuel, that you think that this that Shmuel encountered Rav, that Rav was eating with a cloth, was because Rav didn't wash his hands? Hadaiti Ketzarakam, as we said in the previous narrative, Rav said the only reason is because I'm an istinus. But you see that he washed his hands, and you see that it's not enough to wrap. So says the Gemara, Ishtamitzi Hada Amar Rav Tachlifei Baravimu Amar Shmuel. This that Reb Zera was bothered by what they did because he was missing the following teaching of Shmuel. Hitiru Mapa, they did permit the wrapping of one's hands, Lo'ichli Truma, to those who eat Truma, meaning because Kehanim, what are always called Zerizimhim, they're very punctilious and they're, with the wrapping, would be sufficient and they're not going to come to touch the Truma item. Now, V'lo Hitiru Mapa Lo'ichli Taris, but they did not permit for those who eat their chul in the state of purity to go ahead and eat with their hands wrapped with a cloth because they're not so careful to be like Kahanim. Now, V'rabame V'rabasi Kahanim Hava, they were Kahanim, and for their consumption, it is permitted for them to wrap, and therefore there's no difficulty. You're right, in general, for regular chul and even Tahara, that then you have to wash until it's time even if your hands are wrapped, even if one is wearing gloves. However, here, Rabbi Rabasi, that was permitted because, for Kahanim, they permitted because there's Jerizim here. Now, continuing on these themes regarding possible exceptions or exemptions from the Netilas Yadayim, Ibayul with the following question. Eichel machmas machel. If someone's eating because of someone that's feeding him, meaning someone that's eating through someone else's hands who's sticking the food into his mouth. So tzarech, does the one who's eating require Netilas Yadayim? Does it require the washing of his hands or not? Because the whole idea is touching it, like touching truma, but he's not touching it, it's being fed to him, what do you have to wash? Says, Yimar Toshima, come and hear, Rav Hunda Bar Sechaira, have a koi kamed Rav Amnuna. He was in front of Rav Amnuna, and balam like umtza, where either balam means to say that he was cutting up meat for him, or means that he was roasting it in coals. But either way, he was preparing the food for Rav Amnuna, v'achl, and he was feeding it to Rav Amnuna. And Amalei said to him, Ilavd Rav Amnuna hat. If you weren't Rav Amnuna, meaning a sage that's very careful, like the Gemara is going to explain, then I wouldn't have fed it to you without your washing your hands. Says the Gemara, my taima, what's the reason? What's the great sagacity of Rav Amnuna? Lav mishum dezar v'leinaga, isn't it because he's careful and he's not going to touch? So you see that you don't need the Netilas Yadayim as long as you don't touch. And that says the Gemara, lo, no. This is what he was telling him. If you warned Rav Amnuna, and that I know that you were desirous, that you have alacrity, and kadim mashu yadim yikara, and that is you went and you washed your hands beforehand, then I wouldn't have gone and fed you. But not that you don't have to the contrary. It was because he knew that he definitely did wash his hands before, and that even if one is not feeding it to himself, but if he's the one eating, he has to wash his hands. Now, there's actually an interesting contrast between what the Gemara originally said, Dizarha v'lo naga, where the Gemara had answered and says, no, he was desirous, because zerizis is better than zahiris. Zahiris means to say someone's careful when something is happening in the moment, not to violate the mitzvah. Whereas when he was saying that, no, that because Rav Amnuna is a zahiris, because he sees the future, he's able to prepare himself that this shouldn't come to the situation in the first place, which is what the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Chof Mebeis, in the famous Brayso of Pinchas Ben Yair, Zahiris Mevil De Zrizis, that Zrizis is actually in a higher level than Zahiris, and therefore it's not because he was Zar in the moment, which would sound like that he doesn't have to wash his hands, no, because he was Zaris, and that it was he washed his hands even beforehand, and that's why he fed him. So the Gemara says, Tashma, let's bring a Raya, Dham Reb Zeir Omer Rav. It says, a person should not put a piece of bread, piece of food, into the mouth of the waiter, of the attendant, unless he knows that he washed his hands before the meal. So to continue, Rav, for every cup of wine that the waiter is drinking during the meal, he would have to make a new bracha before each cup. And the reason for that is because there's no permanence for the drinking of the waiter, because he doesn't know if he's going to get any more. So therefore, after every cup he drinks, he stops focusing on the meal, because he doesn't know he's going to get any. And then when he gets a new cup, he has to make a new bracha. However, but he does not have to make a new bracha for every single bread that they give him, because he's confident that bread they'll give him, and therefore he knows he's going to get another piece of bread in a few minutes, and therefore he's not masiach das, he does not remove his consciousness from that, and therefore he does not have to make a new blessing. Now, Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees. He says, no, mevarach al kol prusa prusa, you even have to make a new bracha on every single piece of bread he gets. Now, Amar Rav Papa, he says, Bishlem de Rav Rabbi Yechonam Kasha, we could actually resolve that and say that there's no difficulty between these two different opinions of Rav and Rabbi Yechonam, because you could say the teaching of Rav that you don't have to make a new bracha on each piece of bread is because the ikach gadam adam chashav, at that suda, at that meal, there's a very distinguished personality, and the shamus is confident that he'll make sure that he gets the bread that he needs to get. Ha, the like Adam Chashev. Rabbi Yechon is told where there is no distinguished personality, and yeah, maybe they're not going to give him any more bread, and therefore then everyone agrees you have to make a new bracha. But Mekamakam, one thing the Gemara says you could prove for the question we had asked before regarding someone that's eating but he's not feeding himself, that you would require in the Tilz Adayim, because Hakama, but Rav said, Elim Ken Yedesh and Natal Yadav. Only if you know that he washed his hands before, only then can you go ahead and put a piece of bread in his mouth. So you see that if someone's oichel machmas machel, that then he has to wash his hands even though he's not touching the food himself. So the Gemara, no. Shani shamish. An attendant is different. The turret, because he's perturbed, he's busy serving to all the guests, all the people eating by the meal, and he might forget that he didn't wash his hands, and he might come to touch it during when he's eating. And maybe they're there for yet can only feed him if he washed his hands before. But maybe a regular person who's not distracted, maybe he doesn't have to wash his hands if he's being fed, because he'll be careful and he won't touch the food while he's eating. Now, although seemingly, what do you mean? The waiter is touching the food the whole meal, that actually doesn't bother us, because they didn't require in the Tilsi Dam someone who's touching the food, only be someone who's touching and eating the food. And that's the question. What's with if he's eating without touching? That's not, you can't prove from the shamish, because the shamish maybe is different because he's tarred and he might come to touch. But maybe a regular person who's being fed wouldn't have to wash his hands. Tanabam Linda Braisa, continuing on the previous Gemara's halacha, that Layitin Adam, one of the guests at a meal, should not give prusa l'shamish, should not give a piece of bread to the attendant. Bein shakos b'yadoi, whether the cup of wine is in the hand of the shamish. Bein shakris b'yadushal balabais, whether the cup of wine is in the hand of the host. Shema yar devar tekal besud, because maybe that might cause some type of a stumbling block, something dangerous to happen at the meal, because if the host sees that someone, one of the guests, is giving food to the waiter, he might get angry. And he's going to be in the middle of drinking wine, he might choke on his wine, it might harm him. And even if he doesn't get angry, but since he's very perturbed that he has to make sure he has enough guests, enough bread for the guests, and he's going to be constantly looking and wondering what's going on, why is the waiter eating, and he might spill the cup of wine that's in his hand, or even if the cup of wine is in the hand of the attendant, maybe that if you're giving him food, he might pour it, and therefore there's something bad that could come out of this, and therefore a guest is not allowed to go ahead and give a piece of bread to the waiter. Now, Moreover, Vashamish Leinot L'Yadav, the waiter who didn't wash his hands, us litim prusel tefpiv, in general, one's not allowed to put a piece of bread in his mouth, because, as we mentioned before, for sure the Shamish, the question was regarding other people too, that he might come to touch it when, even though he's not the one feeding himself, during when he's eating, and therefore it's forbidden to give him unless you know he washed his hands before him. Now the Gemara asked the inverse of the previous Gemara's question. Iboiler, the following question. Machel, the one who's feeding, but not eating, Tzarech and Netilas Yadayim, he's holding the food and feeding it to someone else, does he have to wash his hands? Or Yainar Tzarech, maybe he does not have to. So the Gemara Tashma, it's being a ride, the Tanya to be Menashe. There was a Brisa taught in Yeshiva of Menashe that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer, he said, Isha Madiche es Yoda Achas Bamayim. On Yom Kippurim, even though it's forbidden for one to wash their hands, their body, it's permitted for a woman to wash one of her hands and to touch bread. Then they send this pasla but not cotton, and to give that bread to her minor son who could eat on Yom Kippur. Now, Amro Lav al Shammai Zakan, they actually said regarding Shammai the elder, Shlai Rotz l'hachal b'yadei achas, he did not want to feed with one of his two hands, meaning even one of his hands he didn't want to wash to be able to give bread to his children on Yom Kippurim, and therefore he actually stopped from feeding them. And v'gazru lav shayachal b'shtei yadav, and they actually decreed on him that he actually feed with his two hands. Now, but one thing you see is obviously the one who's feeding has to wash their hands, and that actually even permits a woman to wash her hand on Yom Kippur. And that says the Gemara, no, Amar Abaye says, Hasam Mishum Shifta. There it's different because we're talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, no one washes their hands at all, even in the Tilas Yadayim in the morning when they get up. So you have this Shifta, which is an evil spirit that rests on the hand that wasn't washed for the Tilas Yadayim in the morning. But if someone washed their hands in the morning like a regular situation, but he just wasn't careful the whole day and now he's coming to feed his friend food, there maybe you don't have to wash your hands. We don't say generally when someone's putting food into someone else's mouth that the Rabbanan had instituted Netilah and therefore there's no Raya. So the Moses says, Tashem, it's being a Raya. Davu de Shmuel, Ashkechei le Shmuel de Kabachi. The father of Shmuel encountered his son Shmuel who was crying. Amalei said to him, Amai Kabachas, why are you crying? So he says, Demachin Rabbi, he says, because my teacher, my Rebbe hit me. So he says, Amai, why did he hit you? He says, because the Amar Li, my Rebbe said to me, Kasafis Lebroi, you went and fed my son bread, Vlemashis, and the Gir says, Yodich, you didn't wash your hands first. So his father asked, Vamai Lemashis, why didn't you wash your hands? So Amalei said to him, Hu Ochel Vano Mashina, what he's eating and I should have to wash my hands? So Amalei, so the father Shmuel said to him, Loi Mistayeid Loi Gomer, it's not enough that your teacher is not proficient in the laws of the Metilas Yadayim, that he doesn't know that the one who's feeding doesn't have to wash their hands, and Mimcha Nami Machi, and he, not only that, but he goes and he hits you. And the Gemara says, Vilchas and Alocha is, Eichel Machmas Machel, if someone's eating because someone else is feeding him, Tzarech and Metilas Yadayim, he still has to wash his hand. Machel, the one who's feeding someone else, in the Tzarech and Metilas Yadayim, does not have to wash his hands before he feeds that other person. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of this parak regarding the halachas of basa b'chalav, specifically which we said that we need divisions, like in space, regarding, we said, putting them on the table at the same time. So the Mishnah continues, Tzair adam basar gvina b'met pachas achas. A person could wrap meat and cheese in one cloth, as long as they're not touching each other. So they could wrap in the same cloth, but you have to make sure they don't touch. A similar related halacha, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, Shneach senoyin oichan ashulchan echad. Two guests could eat on one table. Zeb basav is a gvina, this one eating meat and this one eating cheese. Vein cheshen. And there's no concern, we're not concerned that this one might come to eat from his friend. So these are laws related to divisions that we make regarding basav chalav. But that's what Reb Shimon Gamliel says. But regarding two random people, that there it's not a problem that they're eating on the same table. We're not concerned that he might come to eat from the other person. Meaning in contrast, we said a person shouldn't have his own food, shouldn't have his meat and his cheese on the table at the same time. But when there's two guests, two other people, that we're not concerned for. Now, the Gemara asks regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah, but why did the Tanakhama say that you could wrap them together as long as they don't touch? Ask the Gemara, why? Even if the meat and cheese touch, what's the problem? It's cold meat and cold cheese, and that's not imbuing any taste, so why would that be problematic? So Amabaya says, Nehida Klibalebay says, no, although you don't have to peel away the meat of the cheese because there was no absorption of taste inside the thing, because there was no heat element, but doesn't it need to be washed? You have the particles on the outside that the cheese rubbed off on the meat, or the other way, you would have to wash it, and therefore we're concerned you might not wash it, and therefore when you're wrapping it, you could do that, just make sure they don't touch. Now the Mishnah continued the second halacha, says, two guests could be eating on the same table, and even though one's eating meat, one's eating cheese, we're not concerned. Now, on this halacha, Amar Rav Chanan bar Ami, Amar Shmuli qualifies. And he says, Lo Yishanu, we didn't learn this, Ela She'in Makirin Zeza, only if they don't recognize each other. Two random people in some hotel. Av Makirin Zeza, also, but if they recognize each other, oh, then that's problematic. Then we're concerned that they might come to eat from each other's foods, and that could be a problem about Basa B'chalav. Tana Hamach, similarly in the Braisa, Shimon Gamliel Lemi says, Bezach Sanoyin, two guests, Shanes Archul Punagecha, that they both happen to be in the same inn, in the same motel. Now, Zebom and Atzafen, Vezebom and Adam, this one's from the north, this one's from the south, which that's precisely why he says it like that, is because this halacha specifically, if we have two people that are from two totally different places who don't recognize each other. That's what the halacha is. Zebo bechatichasa, vezebo begvinasa. This one's coming with his piece of meat. This one's coming with his cheese. They could both be eating on the same table, one meat and one cheese, and we're not concerned. The loyostru, and they didn't say it's forbidden to put meat and cheese on the table, ela betfisa achas, only if they're in one bundle. Now the Gemara asks, tfisa achas soka taidich, can you really entertain to say that it's only a problem with one bundle? But even if you're not eating on the table, even that is problematic. Why is it saying that on the table, that halacha of putting meat and cheese at the same time is only if it's in one bundle? Sailor rather says the Gemara, no, it means ke'ein tfisa achas. It means like one bundle, meaning to say that if they recognize each other, then it's problematic. Meaning, as Taisus points out, if there's something that's interposing between the two of them, then it's not like one bundle. And therefore, actually, Taisus says, that's why the custom is today, that when one is eating meat and the other one's eating dairy on the same table, so they place either a jug or some other vessel to be a chatzitza, to be an interruption between the two of them, or he eats on a different a mat, a different tray that's beneath him, so that it should be ke'ein shtei tfisas, like two different bundles. That's what the halacha is referring to this halacha, and that's what actually relates to the previous halacha, that there has to be a separation, a division between the meat and the dairy here. Also, the two people that are eating has to be that, you know, either they don't recognize each other, or if they do, cannot be like tfisa achas. It can't be that they're like together. There has to be some type of division. Now, Amalei Rav Yemer bar Shlemi Labaye says, but shnei achim, what's if there's two brothers, umakpidin zelze, who have grudges one on the other? Ma, what's the halacha? Do we say since they're a particular one and the other that he would never eat from him, so it's permitted because you don't have the source of the problem? Or no, it would still be problematic. So Amalei, they said to him, which he was quoting him a statement from a halacha regarding a different context, which regarding the halacha of matzahs on Pesach. There's a halacha that tells us that we're not allowed to make engravings in the dough when we're making matzah on Pesach. Why? Because a woman is going to delay in the making the shaping of the matzah, and in that time, the dough is going to ferment and become chametz. Now, however, there was one baker, and his name was Bises. He had a form that could make the engraving immediately, and he could just put it on, and it's immediately engraved. So he said to the sages, he says, well, I can make it in a form, and it'll immediately make the shape. What's the halacha? Could I do that on my matzah? Because there's no concern that it's going to become chametz because it happens right away. It doesn't delay. So on that, they said to him this statement, which the Gemara was saying in this context too, that, oh, so Yomer, they're going to say, kol ha-strik and asurin, all the engravings, oh, they're problematic. The striki bises mutarin, but the engravings of bises that they're permitted, and people are not going to be able to differentiate. And here also is the same thing. People are going to say, what? All brothers, they're forbidden. But these brothers, they're permitted. People are not going to be able to differentiate, and therefore it's forbidden, even though that these brothers are particular. They wouldn't. They have grudges. Still, it's still prohibited because of the general category of brothers are prohibited, just like the engravings are prohibited. Here, too, it's going to be problematic. Now, however, it says the Gemara, but Tamech, according to your reasoning, that you're extending this principle in this context, but then, Hadam Rabasi Amr B'yechanan. He says that Mishain lo elecholik echad, if someone has only one cloth, one shirt on Yamtiv, so mutil chapsi b'cholashamayid, although one's not allowed to launder on cholashamayid, but if he only has one shirt, he's allowed to wash it on the intermediate days of the Yamtiv. Now, why? Yemru, they're going to say, is a gatin of kof chesim and aleph, kal asrik and asurin, oh, everyone's engravings are problematic. But sriki, baisim, mutarin, and this of baisis, his are permitted. Here also, How are people going to differentiate? People might come to think that you're allowed to wash garments on Chol HaMoed, which you're not allowed to. So why are we differentiating over here? Just like you're saying, we don't differentiate in the context of our halacha regarding the brothers that they're not allowed to eat on the same table, one meat and one dairy. So on that, says the Gemara, no, Hasam there, it's different, because Ha'amar Mabra Avashi says, Izuri Mechichalav, his belt proves this, because generally, in Talmudic times, they would have their belts that would always be slatched on to their shirt. Now, when he takes off his shirt and he puts on another one, so he would take off his belt from this one and put onto the other one. Now, this one who has no other shirt, he washes the belt with the shirt because he has no shirt to put the belt onto. Now, the one who sees that he's washing his shirt with his belt, he knows he has no other shirt and he knows that's why the sage is permitted, and therefore he's not going to come to say, what do you mean? His shirt you're allowed to, others not. He knows why, because he knows this guy only has one shirt, and if they're permitted, therefore there's no problem over there of kol ha'srikin asurin b'srikin b'ayis mutarin, and that's why it's permitted. But whereas in our context, we're the brothers, that not everyone knows the grudges that brothers have on each other, and therefore, although they're not going to come to eat from each other, it's still prohibited under the general category about people who know each other from eating on the same table, meat and dairy, because generally that is problematic, because then might come to eat from the other one, leading to the problem about basa b'chalav.